Firstly, I just want to say it's just an absolutely massive privilege to be back with you all here today. It's just what a joy to celebrate what God has been doing through TLG here at Life Church. Over 6 years we've been partnering with TLG, which is amazing, and God has done some awesome stuff, and I really believe God is on the move here, and he's going to be continuing to be on the move in many areas of Manchester through Life Church, so it's great. And for those of you who don't know what TLG is about, we're saying this, you know, TLG, what's this? As you can see up there, TLG stands for Transforming Lives for Good. And my role as a regional leader, I used to kind of cover the kind of North and Midlands area, and now I'm down just in the Midlands. And I love the fact that my job is to support churches like yourself who are kind of going into their local communities, going to their schools and supporting children who are struggling and their wider families. And it's a real joy to see what God is doing through Life Church. Now, for some of you, I'm really familiar. You know quite a lot about me. Some of you, like, who is this person standing on the stage at the moment? So I thought I'd give you a bit of a kind of whistle-stop tour, kind of our journey, kind of, I suppose, as a church towards TLG. So I came up to Manchester in 2010, the sunny climes of Manchester, thinking I'd be here 6 months as an actor. Great, and I head back down again. Yeah, John. And I didn't know anyone up here apart from John Nelly. That was the only person. I was like, I need to know some more people apart from John. And I was like, how can I get to know people? He's great, but I need to know some more people. And I also need to get involved in a church. And I remember coming to Life Church, and I think it was a Mission Sunday, and I just felt God say, oh, this is a church. They're not only kind of hearing the gospel and loving it, but they're also living it out as well. And I really felt God saying, I want you to come here and be part of it. So I thought, great, I'll be here for 6 months. And then God really broke my heart for Stretford as I got to know the people there, and God led me to be part of the team. And for a season, I kind of led the team as well. And it was just amazing to see kind of God on the move there and breaking my heart and breaking the heart for many people involved in it. I was saying, actually, we need to come alongside these people that are struggling, that are broken, and live alongside them deeply and support them. And there's a lot of children that were there that were like, they had so much potential in them, but they were being hindered by the cycles of despair and poverty that they were in, and they needed people to come alongside and support them, to love them, invest them, and show them the love of Jesus. And we were living there, and I thought, there's something else needs to happen. How else can we get deeper? How else can we go further with them? And how else can we go further in connection with the schools and kind of with the community and bringing these families and children to you, Jesus? And at one time, it was like 2013, I think it was, me and Sarah Hagen and a few of us were at a Momentum kind of weekend away. And we saw TLG and we're like, this is it. This is a way we can get involved deeper with these families. And it was just exactly what our heart and vision was for TLG, for Stretford. And so, like, TLG started originally in St Matthew's School in Stretford with just about four of us. And I just love the fact that now we're in two schools. And as you said, Andy, I would love to see one in Eccles, if not more in Eccles, want to see some more in Heal Green. And I really believe there's people here today that could actually step into that gap, which would be amazing. And God has been on the move, and I just have such a privilege of journeying with those people that we're coaching. I think there was about 14 coaches so far we've had in Life Church Manchester over the time, and may have been coaching more than one child as well. So that's 14, if not more, children and families that have been reached by these people coming alongside and supporting them one-to-one through early intervention coaching. So actually now I'm no longer in Manchester. For the past year and a half, I've been down in Gloucestershire, down to kind of West Country, kind of farmer roots again. And it's a real joy to kind of be seeing what God is doing up in Life Church. But one of the things when I was moving down, there's many good reasons to move down there. Now my fiance is there, which is exciting. And also loads of different reasons God led me down there. And but I remember moving down, I was like, God, the one thing I want to see happen here, if I'm going to move down for all these great reasons, I want to see early intervention happen, because this is such a key ministry for a church to have in their local community. And praise God, we're in two schools now, which is brilliant, and seeing kind of families coming into the church. And it's just great, isn't it, to see that God moves through that kind of small, it may feel small bits, but actually it's really big kingdom shifts as well. And I just want to say a massive thank you, first and foremost, to those that have coached, those that are going about to coach as well. And just to say, like, God sees what you're doing. He sees that turning up each week for that hour a week. He sees it. And it may be like, what am I doing? I'm just turning up. I'm playing a game. I'm kind of listening to this child. But God sees it. And actually, those small steps forward are big, huge kingdom shifts. And actually, what a privilege to be part of God's mission for those lost and broken people. And I love the fact, it's my job, I get to see that and be firsthand seeing what God is doing around kind of this whole country.
And it'd be great, I think, actually, to commit this time of prayer, actually, because I believe God wants to speak through this time together. And I believe he is on the move, and I'd love to see him kind of moving through us today. So I'm just going to pray for us, if that's okay. God, we thank you that your heart is for those that are broken, Lord. Lord, your heart is to restore and not to heal, Lord. And I just thank you for all you're going to be doing today, Lord. I pray you'll come speak to us. You'll move through us, Lord. You inspire, Lord, and maybe kind of prompt some people to say, actually, I want to do this as well. I want to be part of this mission, Lord. Thank you that we get to draw into what you are doing in this community, Lord, in Manchester, all across it. And I pray that you'll come and move now. Amen. So to give you an idea of where we're heading today, I'm going to be talking about the huge issue of children struggling in schools, leading to exclusions and deep issues growing in the UK. I'm going to explore how we can come alongside the brokenhearted, those children and families who are struggling on our doorstep, to bring them a freedom and a hope. I'm going to invite Martin up later on, one of our coaches, to kind of share his own experience as well. And I'm finally going to kind of share how you can join over 12,000 Christians across the UK to see God on the move in the lives of children and families supporting the work of TLG. But firstly, let me share who we are. What I have is I have a quick little video to show you. I was going to show another video, but that had Martin in it. I think you saw it last year, and I thought, it could just be the Martin show today. So how about we just show a slightly different video? So can we play that video, please, Ian? That'd be great. Is it gone? No, you just click on it and press. Yeah, brilliant. Hopefully with sound. So that gives you a bit of a glimpse into the vision of what TLG is. So our vision as TLG is to partner with a local church to help churches bring a hope and a future to struggling children and families in the UK. We want to work with churches like yourself to support those children and families on your doorstep who are in crisis and desperately need someone to come alongside them and that extra support in their community. I don't know about you, but I believe children and young people are facing far more than they've ever done. And the truth is, it's causing them to struggle. And by crisis, I mean children and young people who are at risk at the point of exclusion or breakdown for various reasons. Now, I believe that struggling children are not part of God's plan for this country. Groups excluded and marginalised children and families are not part of God's plan for our world. And in this moment right now, we believe that God has called TLG to rise up and equip the local church to do something about it. These children are really in need of someone to guide them through these issues and to help them see positive ways forward rather than dismissing them as our society can do. Now, to give you an idea of kind of the TLG story in this, we began kind of about 20 years ago, and we're actually celebrating our anniversary this year, which is going to be really exciting, and I'll tell you a bit more about that later. However, TLG began with just one youth club up in Bradford. And the youth leaders met a boy called Lewis. Now, Lewis was 13 years old. He had a horrendous behaviour. When they met you, he'd like punch you as a way of saying hello. Remind me of a few of the kids that I remember in Stretford. And he was the kind of teenager you didn't want to be around. He would throw stones at the church windows when it wasn't open. On the surface, he was angry. He was unsociable. He was full of attitude. He was so obviously hindered. But what was the reason? And who was going to invest him in that time of finding out? The youth leaders spoke to the school that Lewis went to and they expelled him many time after time. And they said, actually, we can do something about this. We can support him during the week as well as the weekend. They sat, they listened, they prayed, they educated him, and they began to unpick these hindrances. And they see God move completely in his life and transform him. And very quickly, it showed them, actually, there's so many more children just like Lewis that need help, and the local church can help with that. And in that moment, TLG was born. Now, we have found that 385,000 children or young people are excluded from school every single year. And to break that down further, we found that 62,000 primary-age children have been excluded. But to be even further, 7,000 of them are under 7 years old. That's thousands of children across our country who haven't even properly begun their kind of education and have been told, you're not good enough and you can't continue. And I believe these school exclusions aren't by chance. There are so many factors affecting children and young people today that can lead to problems in school. Bullying, isolation, stress, anxiety, mental health, peer pressure, drug and alcohol abuse, family breakdown are just a few I can mention. And we've found that 1 million children growing up in the UK don't have a father figure in their lives. And by the end of a childhood, a youngster is considerably more likely to have a television in their bedroom than a father at home. And that breaks my heart that there is people, children growing up not knowing those positive role models in their life. Now imagine you're 14 years old. You never really see your real dad. Your mum's always got a new boyfriend. Some of them treat you nicely, others not so much. Your identity is lost in this instability of your home life. And at school, you're known as the naughty one. You love this attention and you do everything you can to make people notice you. Your friends laugh at your bad behaviour, but actually inside, you are desperate for someone to rescue you. And so TLG, we believe that we can therefore be the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, working with children who have been excluded from mainstream education, children like Lewis. So we have about 30 educations kind of across our country working with young people who have been excluded, working in partnership with the local church and using a holistic approach to bring them back to mainstream education. However, about kind of 7, 8 years ago, we thought, okay, we're catching them as they fall off, but actually, we need to step in there earlier. Preventing that and supporting children, young people, before they get to that point of exclusion and crisis. So we kind of consider it also like the fence at the top of the cliff as well, where we kind of partner the local church to train up volunteers to go and work in schools one-to-one with children who are starting to show those struggling, those kind of issues being brought up, that challenging behaviour, or coming across some emotional challenges in order to prevent them from going down that kind of pathway. So very simply, it's one coach, one child, 1 hour a week. That is early intervention coaching. It's what you are doing in your local schools. Now, we currently have 202 churches from across the country partnering with us doing this, supporting children and families in their community, all the way down from Newquay all the way up to Inverness. All these churches have seen what you have seen, the desperate need in front of them, and actually want to step into that gap and support them. Like me, you see there's injustice. There's children growing up in a broken family or being bullied at home or other distressing circumstances outside of their control. And we often look at the bad behaviour and we despise it, don't we? But actually, we sometimes fail to realise this is a communication of a lost and struggling child. It's then that you understand these children, young people aren't the naughty ones that society labels, but they're victims of the world around them. And this is a case of significant injustice in every town and city in the UK. I see it in the clubs we run, in the streets we live on, and the schools we coach in. Where I live now in Gloucestershire, some people are like, oh, it's really nice, isn't it? Farmland with loads of big rolling hills. And I kind of got really challenged going down there because I was like, when I was in Manchester, like the knee was in front of me. I saw it in my face there, all this brokenness. And I remember moving down and being like, but God, it's really pretty around here. Like, what? Where's the need? And God really challenged me and said, actually, the need's there, Esther. It just looks different. And actually, it's hidden. And it's actually sometimes even harder to kind of bridge that gap to them. And actually, that's the thing. The need is there in all the different contexts that Life Church is involved in Sale, in Stretford, in Heal Green, in Eccles. There is it may look different, but the needs are still there. And those children really need them. And I realise actually we need to be listening to God's heart. I'm not seeing it through our eyes, but through his eyes. His heart is breaking for these children, young people, even if it seems like it's beneath the surface and you can't see it to begin with. And his heart is that we yearn with him, that he yearns for us to join into the mission he has for us to bring the lost and broken to him. I love it in Isaiah 1 verse 17, it says, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. And I've definitely seen that in Stretford. I see it down where I live now. There is all that stuff happening. There's brokenness. These children really need someone to support them in it. I believe that our teachers are doing an extraordinary job. I know there's quite a few people here involved in education, and you're doing an incredible job, but I know you are so stretched, and sometimes you can't offer the support you wish you could offer. And again, with services, more and more services getting cut and cut and stretched, and so there's many children that are not getting a chance to be reached. And you think of the word excluded. It's everything we're against, isn't it? It means denying access, removing from consideration. But today I bring a message of hope, and that of Jesus, and his hope expressed through the local church. Now, Bill Hybels put it really well. He said, the local church is the hope of the world. If we can just share just some of our unconditional love that we have received from him, like what a difference that can make to so many children and families' lives on our doorstep that are struggling. You are one of those churches that have seen that in front of them and said, yeah, we're going to join and be part of God's mission in that. And that's why I want to really talk today about God's heart for the excluded. Now, taking it back to the Bible, I want you to think of a same character. Some of you may know him quite well, a guy called Zacchaeus. Apart from being short, something I can't really empathise with, not really experienced that, he was a tax collector, and therefore was hated by those around him. In the book of Luke, we learn that Zacchaeus was despised by those around him. He was excluded and marginalised because of his behaviour and attitude. He would have been socially and publicly excluded. He would have spent a lot of his time on the outside looking in. But Jesus was drawn to the excluded. He did not come to save the sorted, but the broken and the marginalised. And we see this thread throughout his ministry. Take the Samaritan woman at the well, for example. Not only was she firstly a woman, at that time, women were second-class citizens. She was also a Samaritan, which the Jewish nation did not get along with. And she would have been socially excluded by many people. The woman caught in adultery as well is another example. She was publicly ridiculed by the Pharisees for her actions. However, Jesus did not judge her or condemn both of them. Instead, he did something so much more powerful. Filled with compassion, he came alongside them. In the case of the woman in adultery, I love it, he actually got down in the dirt with her. Whilst others accused, Jesus knew the struggling. He knew the marginalised and he knew the excluded. And not only this, but he wanted to draw them close to God through the way he gently challenged them and helped them to see positive ways forward. So what about you? Are you drawn to the excluded? It may not always be the most attractive thing to be part of, and it's not always easy to be part of that kind of ministry. But what I love is that Jesus loves us where we're at, and he brings us up from the ash heap, doesn't he? He sees our rubbish, where we don't fit in, where we feel excluded, and he loves us in it, and he's committed to us. But not only that, I believe our God is a God of redemption and restoration. And he can restore any situation, however broken it is. I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it in so many lives of people around me. Who was there alongside you? Who walked in it with you? Now, taking it back to the Bible, I'm going to look at Zacchaeus and three kind of things, a classic three-point sermon here, of what I believe Jesus kind of showed through his ministry to Zacchaeus. So let's look at Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. If you've got a Bible, that'd be great. Might be easy to read from here. So it's Luke 19, verse 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And then Jesus came to the place. He looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. "He has gone to be part of the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I defraud anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." Now, what I love in this passage is firstly, Jesus didn't wait to be invited. The first thing I notice is that Jesus looked up to Zacchaeus and he says, "I must stay at your house today." Jesus didn't wait to be invited from Zacchaeus up in the tree saying, "Jesus, can you come see me?" He was the one who saw him and said, "I'm coming to you." Now, this required a step of faith in response to the need that was in front of him. He saw that need, he actively stepped out and he initiated that relationship. And that's what you're doing here at Life Church. Through a partnership with you, you've been faith in action, stepping into that gap and meeting the need. Whereas people are standing there, not quite know what to do, are lost, and you said, "Actually, I'm going to come meet you where you're at." I believe that you believe as well that it's not okay for children's futures to be written off because of how their first 5 or 10 years have panned out, and instead believe so strongly that actually if they're not going to come into church, that we're going to go and meet them where they are at. You're initiating a relationship with the last, the lost, and the least. And this is countercultural to what our society is doing today, just as Jesus did. And how exciting to be part of his mission in that. Now, secondly, I believe he did what he couldn't do for everyone. See, this was Jesus' final journey to Jerusalem. He could have hung out with his friends, had a bit of banter, had a nice time. But instead, he came to this one person. He saw that person out of that whole massive crowd, and he came to them. Now, you may be sitting in this congregation and wondering, does God really care about my situation? The truth is, he sees you and me individually, and he deeply cares more than you can imagine. He knows where your struggles are, your mistakes, your feelings of inadequacy, and he meets you where you're at, and he wants to walk in it with you. And he wants to seek to bring you to wholeness and restoration. And that is the heart of any intervention. It's exactly what you're involved in. But what I love as well is you don't have to have it sorted. As a coach, I've done it, I'm doing it myself, and there's various people in here. They're not necessarily more holy in the holy stakes, Martin or Sarah Hagen or I know Sarah Lahoyd, and Gina, most people have done it. They're not like suddenly separate from you guys. Actually, they're just people who said, "I just want to be used by you, God. I'm a normal person. I've not got it sorted, definitely, but I want to be used by you, and I want you to show your glory even more through it." Now, it can be easy to think also, "Oh, maybe I'm a bit too old for this. I can't do that." Like, or maybe, "Oh, gosh, am I, and what can I actually bring?" But what I love is God uses you as you. He has called you to be yourself, and that's what is great. And it reminds me of, as some of you may remember, Jacob. Jacob came to an internship with us, and I love working particularly with boys a bit more rough around the edges, and I just love grappling with that with them, having fun. And Jacob, I asked him, I thought, I just felt God prompt me to ask Jacob to be a coach. And he said yes, and I was like, oh, surprise, that's great, that's really good. But me and Jacob are very different, and a lot of the coaches are very different. And what I love with Jacob is because of his nature, he was quite gentle as well, and he was matched with completely the right child for him. God knew who that child was for him. And actually, the boy that he coached was quite gentle, he was quite quiet and underconfident. And actually, through that coaching, it helped that kind of boy to see, actually, I can be that. I can be myself. I don't have to be like those other boys. And I can accept myself. And he grew in confidence with that. And that's what I love, is God knows exactly the child for you that you're going to coach. I've seen it again and again. And you don't have to be qualified to coach. God does not call the equipped, does he? But instead, he equips the called. He uses little on me and you, and he loves it because it shows his glory even more, doesn't it? When we're feeling weak, like Laura was saying about her voice, like, actually, it just shows glory even more, God's glory even more when we go, I'm feeling weak, God, but use me where I am at. You can also, like Jesus did, make that difference to that one. Who has God put in your hand at this moment in time to journey with? Now, Martin, I'd love to bring you up, if that's okay. So I thought, I'm talking to you a lot. I thought, actually, it'd be great, isn't it, to hear from a coach themselves. So, Martin, come on up. Good to see you. Come closer. Hi. Martin. I don't smell too much. So, Martin, you have great. Fantastic. Good to have you here. It's really good to have you here. So why did you decide to become a TLG coach then, Martin?
Well, I think it was thinking of the consequence of youngsters who were at risk of exclusion. The risk is okay, but the exclusion is dreadful. You're thrown out of a school. Where do you go? You go to the best school in the area, don't you? No. You go to a school that's very undersubscribed and popular. Or you go to a centre for youngsters like yourself. What happens there? Even a TLG centre, you don't get the full curriculum that you got from the original school. And you go with a label, you're condemned. That's horrible. Exclusion is real. But you go to that place and 9 out of 10 don't survive. They go nowhere. And they're on the streets. They're in the care of the authority who have got another 500 to look after. Manchester has 700 14 to 18-year-olds who are out of school, excluded, not in a centre, walking the streets. 700. We're about 200. 3.5 times this lot, you, are walking the streets in Manchester of that teenage.
Absolutely.
Schools have tried it. The authorities tried it. It hasn't worked. Where are they going to be in a few years' time? If it was your child, how would you feel? It's frightening. So Esther, is a bit of, wow, this is something I want to be at the edge of preventing youngsters from being excluded.
Absolutely.
And when TLG came along, I thought, great, this is a great charity. It's linked with the church. It provides training. I'll give it a go.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that's why I got involved.
Brilliant. And it's so true, as you said, Martin, like, it can be quite easy to be like, oh, I'm going to be spending time with a child, what do I do? As you say, we're really passionate that we equip you well and we support you well throughout it as well. And it's true, what an opportunity we have to get in there early and support those children before they get to that point. Now, you were coaching a couple of boys, weren't you, in kind of St. Matthew's, and you're particularly coaching a boy called Cabe, who is brilliant. And you originally coached him for a few years, and then he went up to secondary school, and what was your experience working with Cabe?
Cabe was a lovely kid. He did everything that naughty little boys of 8 years old do, and he did it regularly. Therefore, his reading age, ability to read, was poor. How do you think he felt when teacher said, open your books, we're on page 17? Couldn't understand it, could he? Because he couldn't read, right? He misbehaved. Yeah, so he got sent out, or he was in the corner, excluded. That boy needed somebody to talk to and to relate to. And it was my opportunity to work with the school and have an hour with him to do something. And you're wondering, some of you, what do you do with a whole hour with this sort of child? Well, I'll tell you what you do. This is what I did. I listened. Button it, as my mum used to say. Button it, Martin, and listen. What would I listen to? Well, what's going on, Cabe? What's good about school? That took about 5 seconds. What's bad about school? That took about 5 minutes. You know, what are you going to do? How are we going to do it? That sort of dialogue. And after a while, and it takes a time, you people with children know this, you can't say just do something or your child does it, and particularly if you're an outsider, it's a time of listening and talking to the youngster about why they pinched the teacher, why they kicked somebody's chair, why they thumped somebody in the eye. Yeah. And doing the things that you do as a normal parent, saying, that's not really the best thing to do, you know. There's another way. Have you thought of it? Oh, yeah, but eat. Have you thought of another way?
Yeah.
So that's what we did. Yeah. And with TLG resources, and there's a big thick pack of resources of things you can do with children of different ages. Occasionally I'd use these resources. Occasionally we would just talk. Occasionally he would bring his work, school work, to me, and I would do some of it together. Sometimes we would go for a walk around the school field. Sometimes we'd go to the library. Sometimes we would play chess. Well, everything I could just to engage.
Yeah. And what is great, isn't it? That relationship is for a whole year. And the fact is, it doesn't have to be a short term, that's getting there 6 weeks, boom, boom. But actually, you get to really journey with that child and the ups and the downs. And as you said, just listening. I've got a really good quote, which I love, kind of which says, we so often listen to respond, but we don't listen to understand. And that's so true, isn't it? Actually, just for a child to feel understood and heard is huge, isn't it? It's massive. And how do you see him change and develop during coaching?
Well, I stopped coaching about 3 years ago, after 2 or 3 years with him. Yeah. Went to secondary school, and we had a call a few months ago from Sarah and his mum. He's gone off the rails again. Can you come back? And so now go to his secondary school. Yeah. And instead of this tiny little eight-year-old, we have a boy in year nine. That's the year before you start your GCSEs. Worried about how he's going to get on with his GCSEs, whether he's going to make it or not. Kicking over the traces again. So we're back at a different level, talking at a different level. Everything's kicking off. Hormones, girl-boy relationships, what I'm going to do in the future, how I'll cope with GCSEs. That's his agenda, but that's a better agenda, really, because he's talking to me as if, guess what? I'm a sort of surrogate, dare I say it, father.
Yeah.
Yeah? Because we spoke 3-5 years ago, and now, okay, can we pick up from there, and what do I do about this? What do I do about that? Yeah. So I don't have to think what I'm going to do with him this week. He's going to think about, I'm going to bring this issue to Martin.
Yeah, and that what I loved was I remember seeing Cabe kind of a year or so afterwards, after your first time you coached, and he was like, I really need Martin back, I really need him. And just him recognising just the power of that one-to-one time. And actually, well, when I have someone who's positively invested in me in my life, what a difference that can make. And it's only 1 hour a week, it feels just a small thing, but it can be a really powerful time, can't it? And just wondering what you'd say to anyone who is thinking, maybe it's a thing for me. Maybe could I do it? Maybe could I go into school for 1 hour a week and support a child? What would you say?
I would say two things. Pray about it. Don't wait for a personal strike of enlightening of God saying, yes, you must. Get on with it. Get in there. Try it. Call upon the Lord. You've got other people, coaches, working with you. You've got the resources. Bring it to the team regularly. The team will meet every term or so. And number one, stop thinking you're inadequate. You haven't got the qualifications of a teacher. You haven't got the qualifications of a TA. You're not good with children. Stop thinking and hearing that. and think of the possibilities of you preventing a youngster from exclusion and giving them godly, sensible, sound advice, as any good parent would, and get involved. But stop thinking about your inadequacies, and particularly you geriatrics like me. You know, stop thinking you're geriatric like me, and you know, get in there. You don't hesitate with your grandchildren, do you? You're good enough. You can get alongside them and love them and talk to them. Well, you can do it with children at school.
Amen. Thank you so much, Martin. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. Right, so I'll be very quick then. Sorry about that. Thanks, Martin. That was great. I'll very quickly whiz to the last bit. But yeah, that's great. Just a really good example, isn't it, to say what God is doing and how you can be part of that. So lastly, what I love is that Jesus brought salvation to the lost. I love in verse 9, it says that today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. What I love is through this, Zacchaeus brought salvation. He brought salvation to Zacchaeus where he was at. But not only that, he brought to the whole house. And the real heart of our heart for TLG is we're not only engaged a child, but the whole family as well. Our focus is not holistic change, not even just behavioural change. We want to see kind of, so not even just social change, actually. We want to see true heart transformation. And you can do that through the local church, by you supporting that child and the wider family. What an opportunity to bring that family into the local church. So maybe some questions have been raised for you today. Is there a situation or a person that God has put on your heart that is excluded? Maybe it's a practical need. Maybe you long to see them saved. Could you give 1 hour a week to support a child struggling in your community? Someone to listen, support them, and encourage them to see positive ways forward. Would you be interested in joining the coaching team? If so, come and speak to myself and to Martin afterwards. We'll be right at the back. Please come and speak to us. If you couldn't, could you give maybe a couple of pounds a week to support this wider vision of TLG across the country? Could you be praying for us as well? Now, we are seeing more and more of kind of churches partner with us, but we realise actually there's so many more churches out there that need that support, and that's when you come in as well. You can be praying for us, you can come in a coach as well, but actually, do you know what, could you be part of that financially too? Now, what you have in front of you is you have a form. And we'd love to stay in touch with you. You can fill that in today, and we'll send you more kind of amazing stories of transformation like what was shared there and a video we're going to quickly show now. Is that okay to show one last video?
We need to finish in 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Great. So whilst you are, we're going to watch the video in a second, and then I'd love you to kind of fill that in if you'd like to stay in touch with us. But actually, do you want to become a hope giver and join thousands of people across this country and actually say, I want to be part of this, I'm going to give a couple of pounds a week, and we'd love you to be part of that. Please fill in and come and see us afterwards. So we're going to watch one last video of a story of transformation to say this works. God is on the move, and he's in the move through you. So can you show us, please? Thank you. Amen. So that is amazing. That someone's real life's been transformed through early intervention coaching, and that's what you can be a part of today. So if you fill in the form, you also not only get obviously loads of lovely emails and hearing about it, you get a free book today. That's pretty amazing as well, about our story. So please do come and chat to us afterwards. I just want to say God is doing some incredible stuff for Life Church, and it's been a privilege to join you this morning, and thank you very much. I'm going to hand back to Andy. Thank you.